through which the trail snaked on its way to the top. He could remember that they'd had to crawl in at least four places. He didn't want to get stuck in one of those places. Or, how's this gang? Old Billy Halleck gets stuck in one of those dark crawly places and then has a heart attack. Hey, two for the price of one. But he finally agreed to give it a try. If she would agree to go on by herself if he was simply not in good enough shape to make it to the top. And if they could go down to New Paltz first so he could buy some sneakers. Heidi agreed willingly to both stipulations. In town, Halleck found that sneakers had become déclassé. No one would even admit to remembering the word. He bought a pair of dandy green and silver Nike walking and climbing shoes and was quietly delighted at how good they felt on his feet. That led to the realization that he hadn't owned a pair of canvas shoes in 5 years? Six? It seemed impossible, but there it was. Heidi admired them and told him again that he certainly did look as if he had lost weight. Outside the shoe store was a penny weighing machine, one of those that advertises your weight and fate. Halleck hadn't seen one since he was a kid. Hop up, hero, Heidi said. I've got a penny. Halleck held back for a moment, obscurely nervous. Come on, hurry up. I want to see how much you've lost. Heidi, those things don't weigh true. You know that. A ballpark figure's all I want. Come on, Billy, don't be a poop. He reluctantly gave her the package containing his new shoes and stepped up on the scale. She put a penny in. There was a clunk, and then two curved, silvery metal panels drew back. Behind the top one was his weight. Behind the lower one, the machine's idea of his fate. Halleck drew in a harsh, surprised breath. I knew it, Heidi was saying beside him. There was kind of a doubtful wonder in her voice, as if she was not sure if she should feel happiness or fear or wonder. I knew you were thinner. If she had heard his own harsh gasp, Halleck thought later, she no doubt thought it was because of the number at which the scale had redlined, even with all his clothes on and his Swiss Army knife in the pocket of his corduroy pants, even with a hearty Mohonk breakfast in his belly. That line was centered neatly at 232. He had lost 14 pounds since the day Canley had settled out of court. But it wasn't his weight that had made him gasp. It was his fate. The lower panel had not slid aside to reveal financial matters will soon improve, or old friends will visit, or do not make important decision hastily. It had revealed a single black word. Thinner. They rode back to Fairview mostly in silence, Heidi driving until they were within 15 miles of New York City and the traffic got heavy. Then she pulled into a service plaza and let Billy take them the rest of the way home. No reason why he should not be driving. The old woman had been killed, true enough, one arm almost torn from her body, her pelvis pulverized, her skull shattered like a Ming vase hurled onto a marble floor. But Billy Halleck had not lost a single point from his Connecticut driver's license. Good old tit-grabbing Carrie Rossington had seen to that. Did you hear me, Billy? He glanced at her for only a second, then returned his eyes to the road. He was driving better these days, and although he didn't use his horn any more than he used to, or shout and wave his arms any more than he used to, he was more aware of other drivers' errors and his own than he had ever been before, and was less forgiving of both. Killing an old woman did wonders for your concentration. It didn't do shit for your self-respect, and it produced some really hideous dreams, but it certainly did juice up the old concentration levels. I was wool-gathering, sorry. I just said thank you for a wonderful time. She smiled at him and touched his arm briefly. It had been a wonderful time, for Heidi at least. Heidi had indubitably put it behind her. The gypsy woman, the preliminary hearing at which the state's case had been dismissed, the old gypsy man with the rotted nose. For Heidi, it was now just an unpleasantness in the past, like Billy's friendship with that wop hoodlum from New York. But something else was on her mind, A second, quick side glance confirmed it. The smile had faded, and she was looking at him, and tiny wrinkles around her eyes showed. "You're welcome," he said. "You're always welcome, babe. And when we get home, I'll jump your bones again," he cried with bogus enthusiasm, and manufactured a leer. Actually, he didn't think he could get it up if the Dallas cowgirls paraded past him in lingerie designed by Fredericks of Hollywood. It had nothing to do with how often they had made it up at Mohonk. It was that damned fortune. Thinner. Surely it had said no such thing. It had been his imagination. But it hadn't seemed like his imagination, damn it. It had seemed as real as a New York Times headline. And that very reality was the terrible part of it, because thinner wasn't anybody's idea of a fortune. Even "your fate is to soon lose weight" didn't really make it. Fortune writers were into things like long journeys and meeting old friends. Ergo, he had hallucinated it. Yep, that's right. Ergo, he was probably losing his marbles. Oh, come on now, is that fair? Fair enough. When your imagination got out of control, it wasn't good news. "You can jump me if you want to," Heidi said. "But what I really want is for you to jump on our bathroom scales." "Come on, Heidi, I lost some weight, no big deal." "I'm very proud of you for losing some weight, Billy, but we've been together almost constantly for the last 5 days, and I'll be darned if I know how you're losing it." He gave her a longer look this time, but she wouldn't look back at him. She only stared through the windshield, her arms folded across her bosom. "Heidi, you're eating as much as you ever did, maybe more. The mountain air must have really gotten your motor revving." "Why gild the lily?" he asked, slowing down to slam 40 cents into the basket of the Rye toll booth. His lips were pressed together into a thin white line. His heart was beating too fast, and he was suddenly furious with her. "What you mean is, I'm a great big hog. Say it right out if you want, Heidi. What the hell? I can take it." "I didn't mean anything like that," she cried. "Why do you want to hurt me, Billy? Why do you want to do that after we had such a good time?" He didn't have to glance over this time to know she was near tears. Her wavering voice told him that. He was sorry, but being sorry didn't kill the anger and the fear that was just under it. "I don't want to hurt you," he said, gripping the old steering wheel so hard his knuckles showed white. "I never do. But losing weight is a good thing, Heidi, so why do you want to keep hitting on me about it?" "It is not always a good thing," she shouted, startling him, making the car swerve.